like to walk around a little bit, you know, make weird faces. My husband likes to make fun of me because I get dramatic. And so sometimes he'll say, yeah, that time when you were just like going. I'm like, okay, whatever. Okay. That's who I am. I can't help it. All right, so a week ago, yesterday, I was sitting in a sanctuary. I was helping out with a pastor's conference on a prophetic team, and I wrote down a sentence. This was like during worship. I was inspired by scripture in 2 Kings 4 about a widow woman. And so I wrote down in my little notebook, nothing but a jar of oil. And I remember thinking, I think that's going to be a message. Well, then like 10 minutes later, Scott texts me and he goes, Jan, I'm down in the back. Do you have a message for tomorrow? This was last week. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, sure. I got a sentence. So I was on call and to get ready for that. And so I was like, oh, my goodness, I wasn't expecting to have it ready for tomorrow. But here we are. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, like what was said to the widow woman, what do you have? So what do you have? I go, I have a sentence. He goes, do you think I can multiply that? I said, yes, you can. And so last Sunday, Scott was up and going, and it's like, all right, you know. But it's always God's timing. I knew that this message was going to be short and sweet. And so when we had our board meeting, we talked about having a shortened service. So we needed a message that was short and sweet. I got that. Okay. Yeah. It's not your specialty. Is that what you're trying to say? So anyway, there's another face, Steve, you can make fun of me with. But anyway, so 2 Kings 4, verse 1. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And now his creditor is coming to take my two children as his slaves. I mean, that's awful as a mom. How can I help you? Asked Elisha. Tell me, what do you have in the house? She answered, your servant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Go, said Elisha, borrow jars, even empty ones, from all your neighbors. Do not gather just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into all these jars, setting the full ones aside. So she left him, and after she had shut the door behind her and her sons, they kept bringing jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another. But he replied, there are no more jars. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. Then you and your sons can live on the remainder. All from just one jar of oil. And how often we think that our little bit is insignificant. And it's not. We all have one thing that God wants to multiply and to bless. Not only to bless yourself, but also to bless others. There was talking about a short service in one sentence. You know, I said, well, I have one sentence. And there was a story, and I've told this before quite some time back, but if you've heard it before, it bears repeating. But years ago, my mother told me a story about a church. And, you know, they did all the preliminaries. They had the music. They had the prayer. And then it was time for the pastor to get up. And he gets up to the pulpit and he goes, love one another. You're dismissed. Now, Scott did that. People were like, is he okay? No. But anyway, so they were all shocked. They're like, what? But they all got up and they left. And so the very next week, pastor gets up. Love one another. You're dismissed. They're like, something's wrong. I think this man is run out of stuff to say. And if this happens again, we're going to have to address it. So the very next week, he gets up and he goes, love one another. You're dismissed. And so finally, this man gets up and he says, okay. This is the third week in a row you said that. What is going on? And he said, until you get that down, we can't go on. Changed the whole congregation. Because all of a sudden they're like, wow, I think he's got a point there. And so they started really reaching out to each other, and they started, you know, somebody needed a job, and somebody else is like, hey, I'm hiring. You know, a mom who is needing help with her children, hey, I'll watch your kids while you go to work. And helping out just wherever there needed to be, and then they were able to go on. And I thought, can you imagine? Till you get that. We can't go on. One sentence totally changed the dynamics of the church. So anyway, we also have the fishes and loaves. I mean, can you imagine seeing thousands of people and Jesus is like, okay, go feed them. Bless you. And how do we do that? We don't have enough. They had 5 fish, 2 loaves, fed everyone with plenty left over. And so I believe the Holy Spirit is asking each one of us, what is it that you have? And will you allow me to bless it and multiply it and therefore bless others? A lot of times people will think, well, I mean, all I do is vacuum the sanctuary. I mean, that's really all I do at my church. It's really insignificant. Did you know in the Toronto outpouring in the 90s, where people were coming from all over the world because the move of God was so amazing that the person that they wanted prayer from was the janitor. He had such an anointing on him that you had all these, you know, famous speakers coming in to speak, you know, now and again, but it was the janitor. And how easy it is to say, well, I'm just the janitor, you know. I'm just an accountant. But do you know, that is extremely important. Now, for those of us who don't like numbers, we're just amazed that somebody likes that kind of stuff. Yeah. It boggles the mind. Yes, yes, yes. But, you know, looking at the little bit, what's the one thing that you have that God wants to bless, and never look at it as insignificant. There was also someone I was talking to last week, and she used to come here, Denise Gresh, and she's always full of fire. She's always full of fire. And she was giving some testimonies, and it just really blessed me because she was talking about it's inconvenient, but what was it she said? But there's a reason. So she said that she was having some different things going on with her house. So she needed, I guess, a new roof or something. I'm getting some of this screwed up, but you'll get the gist of it, okay? And so this crew was supposed to come out and do it. Well, they said, hey, we can't make it. We need to reschedule. And she goes, okay, it's inconvenient, but there's a reason. So then the next time, the second time, same thing happened. One of our, you know, guys didn't show up or, you know, and so we need to reschedule. All right. Inconvenient, but there's a reason. And then I think it was like the third time this crew comes. I guess they have a few different crews. This crew comes, I think three guys, and they get done. And she always says, anytime anybody comes to her house, can I pray over you and bless you? And they're like, oh, okay. So she just starts praying like she does. And she's, you know, blessing them, probably giving them each prophetic words and everything. And one of the young men said, oh, my gosh, you're the third person to say that to me this week. It was inconvenient, but there's a reason. And so if we can start looking at those types of things in our lives, that what we have, it's just like with her, you know, she could just say, well, you know, I just kind of pray for people. But just having such impact, just that bit that she has. And I just want to encourage each and every person here to ask that question and to just get before God and ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that I have? What is it? And notice with it always took action. You know, like with the widow woman, she could have sat there and argued with Elisha and say, well, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Why are you even doing that? I need help right now. How is that? You know, I just have a jar of oil. No, she did exactly what was told of her. It's like with the fishes and loaves, you know, they took action. And that's the problem. A lot of times we don't take action. And that's when it happens. And that's when grace comes. A lot of times, you know, I'll talk to people and they're like, oh man, I got to speak in front of this group and I'm so nervous and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, you know, the grace isn't going to be there until you get up to the front. We always want to feel the grace first. If something's a week or two out, it's like, oh Lord, I need to feel your peace right now. I need this, this, or that. No, it's usually when you get up, you grab the microphone, and that's when it's there. It's like when I would go and do the treasure hunts at Walmart. I'd be all nervous, but as soon as I got out of that car and started walking across the parking lot, that grace came upon me. And especially after you talk to that first person, then it's like game on. All right, who's the next one we get to talk to? And just one more little thing. I was talking to someone and it reminded her of when I was telling her about the nothing but a jar of oil. She remembered hearing about this one woman who was homeless, living in a car, but her trunk was full of weight loss products, which is kind of ironic. But anyway, so she's crying out to God. She goes, what am I going to do? I can't seem to get rid of these and I have nothing. And the Holy Spirit asked her, he goes, what do you have in your hand? She goes, well, I got weight loss products. Okay. So she got out, she went, sold every single one of them, and it just took her to the next thing and to the next thing. And from what I understand, she's an extremely successful businesswoman. But she took that little bit that she had, and she listened to God, and she stepped out. You got something?
I'm going to make this quick, but for 5 or 6 years, many years ago, the Lord was speaking to me from this very scripture that Jan just used this morning. And he said, what is that in your house? And for years I prayed and I said, Lord, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't have any money. I don't have any. All I had is a basement full of books. And so I knew that wasn't it. And so I said, Lord, what is it? What are you showing me? Well, in 2016, my late wife died, and I was all alone in a house with 6 bedrooms. And finally, I understood what the Lord was talking about. So I started renting rooms to international students. That was 6 years ago. Since that time, I have seen internationals come to the Lord in my own house. I have had reports of internationals coming all the time about what it was like to live in my house. I had one very difficult roommate who was special needs and so on. I won't get into the details, but he was a handful for everyone in the whole house. Well, last week, he wrote me and he said, "Joel, I had an epiphany about grace because I lived in your house. The way that you treated me was something I'd never experienced before." And this is a guy who didn't know anything about church, didn't know anything about Jesus. And I could give you story after story of how God has used the six rooms in my house, all because of that scripture.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right, so let's pray. Father, show us today. We thank you for this word. God, we believe it was from you. And that we're asking you to remind us, to show us of what our one jar of oil looks like. Show us, Lord, that little that we might have, that two loaves and five fish, or whatever it is, God, that there's something that we've overlooked, but God, you want us to give to you, to allow you, God, to multiply. Lord, forgive us for not believing that we had something or we are something valuable to you. Forgive us, Lord, for not recognizing that our little part matters. Lord, refresh us and renew us into the understanding, maybe for the very first time, Lord, that the way you cause the body to be healthy and flourish is when every joint supplies. And the joy, God, that's available to us when we give our little part and watch you bless and multiply and be glorified through it. Lord, maybe receive this today. May that, God, move us today to trust you, to believe you, and to resist, Lord, the lie of the enemy, Lord, or even our own weakness that would say, my part doesn't matter. Father, may we hear the voice of our Father reverberating. Oh, you matter, your part matters, give it to me and watch and see what I would do with it. Lord, we thank you today, we bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen. Okay, we're now going to move into Ron's favorite part, lunch. Okay, you'll have an opportunity to visit with one another over lunch. If you're not hungry, that's fine, but we just figured because we know there'd be kids here, instead of trying to have a meeting right after church, it'd be better.